reading is from John 2, 13 to 22, NIV version. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple court, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and goats, and others sitting at table exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold goats, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Steal for your house will consume you." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to your authority?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days." But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed in the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Thanks be to God for the word.
Over Lent, we're doing a new series, looking at the theme, Jesus revealed, called to reveal. God has revealed Jesus to us in his life, ministry, death, resurrection, as recorded in the Bible, and through his Holy Spirit in our lives. This means that God wants Jesus to be magnificent and to be known as his Son and our Savior. In our first week, we looked at the baptism of Jesus. At his baptism, we read how the heavens were torn open, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And the Father spoke from heaven, saying, "You are my Son, with whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus, in his baptism, receives his ministry, which is a ministry symbolized by the dove. And as well as this, he has his identity as the Son of God confirmed. So Jesus came to declare the good news, that God was offering salvation from judgment through repentance. Jesus and his ministry and death and resurrection would be the way God would achieve this. We are to continue on the ministry of Jesus and declaring that God is offering everyone to have their sins forgiven. And lastly, we continue by looking at the glory of Jesus. The glory of God is the totality of God's being, nature, character, presence, splendor, and accomplishments, which all work together to reveal a being who is beyond compare in awesomeness, and is a being worthy of all honor, praise, and adoration, and a being who will one day be recognized by all as this. At his transfiguration, Jesus has his divine magnificent splendor revealed. Normally, it is veiled. But Jesus' glory could always be seen in other ways, such as his character and the way he lived his life, that way of denying himself and being willing to take up his cross, quite literally in Jesus' case, and humbly obey the will of the Father. When we reveal Jesus to those around us, we can do so by following Jesus and denying ourselves for the sake of God, and by sharing the gospel stories of Jesus, which reveal the glory of who he is. This week we're continuing on to look at who Jesus is revealed in some of the significant moments of Jesus' life. And today we're looking at the zeal of Jesus for the temple, and providing the opportunity for others to connect and worship God, as well as how Jesus is the true temple of God. The temple for the Jews was truly a sacred place. It was where God was said to reside on earth. Jews, as well as people from other nations, could come and have their sins and guilt covered over by drawing near to God in the temple and through the temple sacrifices. It was also a place where one could learn about God from the best religious scholars. Jesus, we know, had a fondness for the temple, as well as for a deep connection with the temple. We can see this in the story of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, staying in Jerusalem at the temple for 4 days after his family had left without him really noticing their absence. We read how Jesus had for 4 days sat among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions, and everyone was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when rebuked by his mother, saying, "We," in our language today, saying, "We have been scared to death, looking for you everywhere for 3 days." Listen to Jesus' 12-year-old, and here is a 12-year-old's perspective on this. Coming with that, he said, quote, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house?" He's basically saying to his mum, "My mum, if you've been worried sick about where I am and have to search for where I would be in Jerusalem, that's your own silly fault. I love being in the temple more than anything else. Where else would I be?" But in this story, we can clearly see the deep sense of connection and enjoyment with the temple that Jesus has. This place is sacred to Jesus. And so this lays somewhat of an important context for today's Bible reading. In John 2, verses 13 to 22, we read the story of Jesus going to the temple at the time of the Passover. When he arrives, he sees that people are selling sheep, cattle, and doves. And there are also money changers or currency converters there. And Jesus does something which for us might seem a little bit out of character, or really out of character. Jesus gets angry. And not just angry, he gets really angry. And he uses physical force. Can you think of another story where Jesus uses physical force? He makes a whip and chases the animals. He overturns the tables of the money changers, declaring, "Get these out of here! How dare you turn my father's house into a marketplace?" So what's really going on here? What's so terrible that Jesus would just get so angry? And justifiably so. Okay. So many Jewish people, even Gentiles, come in from outside of Jerusalem to worship God during the Passover. And many, as they came, wouldn't have the required animals to sacrifice, or maybe they didn't have animals of a suitable quality that the temple would accept. And they wouldn't have the specific money that could be used in the temple. So the religious officials allowed money changers and people who sold animals for sacrifices into the outer temple court. Now the outer temple court was the largest part of the temple, and anyone was allowed to come and worship there. So what we have are people making money offer those who have come to the sacred place, this sacred space, who have come to be close with God and to worship Him. They want to be near their God. That's why they have come. And so there are people who are making money, and this includes the temple and the religious authorities, who would have received grants or, you know, some sort of payment for allowing these people to sell their animals and do their money changing. So what is meant to be a sacred place set aside for people to come and be near God and worship Him has become a money-making venture. And I will say this. I believe that anything which is produced by a church for worship should never, ever be sold for profit. Churches selling worship for profit, as far as I can tell, is one of these things that makes Jesus more angry than anything else. As we sang in the song this morning at Linton Show, freely you have received, freely give. The other thing about this situation is this space, which is meant for prayer and listening to teachers and gathering with other worshippers of God, is now literally a noisy marketplace which will prevent people from entering into a time of connecting with God. So not only is money being made, it's being done in such a way as to stop true worship at the very place people have come to worship. And let's not forget that for Jesus, this is the place Jesus loved so much to be, he didn't realize his family had left for 4 days or didn't care. He loved this sacred place. It was a place that felt like home because it is, was his father's house. So, if we even look deeper into what's going on, if we even look deeper, what is revealed about Jesus' zeal? What is Jesus really zealous about when we distill this down? Now, we know that it is said in Psalm 69, verse 9, as quoted in our Bible this morning, that the zeal for your house will consume them. And Jesus was certainly zealous about the temple being a place of worship and prayer. What is going on here is that this is the special place set aside for people to come to where they know they will be able to be close to God and be able to connect with Him. And this has been corrupted and diminished. People's opportunity to worship God and feel close to Him has been tarnished and reduced. Jesus came to reconcile humanity with God. For this reason, we're told that in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. For the joy of reconciliation of God with people, He endured the cross. Nothing pleases Jesus more than people who have open hearts to God and who have a desire for God and enjoy God's presence and worshiping Him. Jesus seeing that best in Him. Maybe new Christians coming to faith, it's above that. but it's pretty high on Jesus' list. That is what Jesus is truly most zealous for. People's hearts of God. For his Father. He's also for those opportunities, those places which can be created which invite people to connect with God. And he's zealous of those places. On the flip side of that is, of course, how Jesus is really upset by people who prevent or interfere with people connecting and feeling close to God. Particularly when those people are Christians or church leaders. Those who are supposed to help provide opportunities to meet with God. The Jewish religious leaders should have known better. Now, the Jewish faith has room for prophets to come and challenge the established religious leaders and authorities, which is why they were at least willing, at least to some extent, to entertain that if Jesus performs a miraculous sign for them, then maybe they will take him seriously. But the game that Jesus is interested in playing. And of course, the irony is that if we went to the very next verse and read that, we read that following this, in John 2, verse 23, we read that Jesus performed many miracles. And some people believed in him. Of course, not the religious authorities who challenged Jesus here. So it's that Jesus responded to the Jewish authorities by telling them that if they destroy this temple, that he will raise again in 3 days, referring to when they will have him crucified and killed, but in 3 days he resurrected. And at this point, something else is revealed in our story to us about Jesus. That Jesus is the true temple of God. God lives in Jesus. And so Jesus brings the fullness of God into the world. The Jewish people, this role of bringing God's presence into the world was done through the temple. The temple was understood as the place where heaven and earth met. The place where heaven had come down to earth. The place where God's presence was made manifest on the earth. The place where he could be near to God. And the temple in Jerusalem partially achieved this. But Jesus is the true temple of God. The full presence of God dwelt in him. And as we heard last week, he revealed the glory of God. It is within Jesus where human and divine truly come together. And it is through Jesus that we have access to God. It is through Jesus that we can be connected to God. It is Jesus who enables us to draw near to our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our temple. And so, there's too much sense of why Jesus is so zealous for people having the opportunity to be connected with God. Jesus' role as God's temple is to connect humanity with God. There are many people who are after a genuine connection with God. If they only knew, if they only understood that there was a God of love, many people are just lost in this world. Many people have been badly beaten by the world. Many people are jaded by the world. And some have just lost all hope in any goodness. And and given the opportunity to meet with our loving God, some will do so. And so our role is to help people encounter Jesus, to really just meet with Jesus. It's to help draw people into connecting with Him. The churches and Christians in certain people's hearts have given them a bad taste of what Christianity is. Then offering Jesus without the need to join a church is fine. The first thing is to connect people in with what is real, and what is real is Jesus. Get them connected in with Him, however you can. And we should have zealousness for this. To try and provide opportunities and times and places which encourage people to draw near to Jesus. Now, the temple in our Bible reading isn't being corrupted by the desire of people to use those who were coming to worship God as a way of making money. And I'm sure many of the people of that day saw that. I'm sure many of them saw that and thought, that's not right. And many people have been turned off from exploring a relationship with Jesus by the church or by particular Christians. And there's a multitude of reasons why this might be. It might be because some money ones offering God's blessings in exchange for money. Or really pursuing people, or really pressuring people to give more and more offering. It's not enough, give more. Or excluding people due to not meeting up to expectations. Or someone using their position in the church to exploit others. Or simply church politics. Or making people not feel welcome. Any time the church is responsible for corrupting opportunity for people to connect and feel close to Jesus makes him really upset. And I'm sure sometimes really angry. And so we have to be careful about making sure we don't do this. But on the other hand, nothing makes Jesus happier than when churches and Christians share the good news that Jesus wants to meet people where they are at, forgive their sin, reconcile them with the Father, and give them the hope of a new future and eternal life. Nothing makes Jesus happier than when churches and Christians provide opportunities and sacred places and spaces for people to enjoy being in God's presence, to be given the opportunity to ask questions and explore faith, to have the offer of prayer extended to them. Jesus was zealous for the temple, for it was the sacred place for Jews and Gentiles in his day to come near and worship God. And today, Jesus is still zealous for spiritually humbling people to be given the opportunity to draw close to God. So what are you going to do about it? Let's provide those opportunities and that space and place for people to meet.